Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 15th of July at about 8, or 8, listen to me, at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. I don't know where I am. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you to the show. I want to let you know that you can find me over in the chat room by heading over to 12radio.com. and clicking on the chat button. You can also find me on the live stream. And the live, I put a link in the chat room for it, but easily to find if you just head over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. So I would love to see you any way I see you. Now, I do have my eyes on all of the chats. So if you're chatting on YouTube or on Facebook, I can see that. Or if you're just in our regular chat room, I can see that too. So anywhere you're at, I should be able to see and interact. So how's it going? How's everyone doing? How'd we do with the full moon? I have been full of the weirdest dreams. Ugh. I had a dream last night that I got recruited to work for a company that was, they were like a social media dating site for widows. I don't know why I was working for this site. I don't really know what I was doing for them, but it was like high level. And I think I was consulting it or something like that. And I finally realized that I am helping this company scam women because it was a social media site that was designed to draw women in for dations for like if you needed a plumber or a mechanic or something. And so the people who wrote the site actually had this big business where they were recommending their own mechanics or plumbers or whatnot, and that was the front. And I know saying it all out loud doesn't make it any more sensical, but at any rate, and where was the scam? I'm not really sure right now, but I know in the dream I woke up mad as hell. Or from the dream I woke up mad as hell at about 7 o'clock this morning. And yeah, I'm not over it. So super weird. And I had a dream a few nights ago that I got roofied and abandoned my car and fell asleep in someone's yard. So what is going on with me? JR thought I was going to say I got recruited to the military. Hilarious. I love it. That would be the day. I don't know what the military would do with me. Well, I have fun stuff to share because I have a kiln opening that was so awesome. But first, I want to share the pigs with you. Summer pigs. I'm really thinking maybe we need to buy two pools or a bigger pool, because what's happening is that one pig is laying in the pool and the other one is standing around waiting for their turn. So that was Fee, and here's Zig having his turn. Of course, Nellie's supervising the whole operation, but but they also drink out of this pool, and the crows drink out of this pool, and the pigs will, while they're laying in it, the crows are up in the trees above them just bitching them out. So you'll hear all this crow drama in the backyard and go out there to see what's happening, and they're pissed off because the pigs are laying in the pool. So I don't know if there's a solution to this or if I just let nature do what nature does, but we are having the drama. But they are having a good summer. We keep a giant bag of carrots in the fridge so that at some point during the day, inevitably, one or the other of them wanders in just to see what's up and if you have anything, you know, that they might like. And you always have a carrot for them, or a tomato. They love tomatoes too, but usually just give them a carrot and they take it on their merry way. And within a minute or two, the other piggy always comes in yelling like, "Hey, she got a carrot. Where's mine?" So then they have to have their carrot too. But yeah, pigs, they're not going to be tricked or forgotten about. No. Sid said, "Do you think the pigs would love a kids' water park setup? Maybe one with a larger pool." I don't know. I'm not sure. I would love something bigger, but I don't think it could be an inflatable kind of thing or a thing with like the rigid sides unless they can just step over it because they would for sure ruin it. There you go. Lillian said I need to put in a lap pool in ground so I can swim with them, like down in the Caribbean, right? Why not? There's that whole beach that has all of these pigs, and they're minis too. They're little like my guys, and they are quite the swimmers, so maybe so. Well, right now there's pool drama for sure. But I have to go to Walmart today, so I thought I might just go peruse their pools and see if there's a better option for them so they can at least both get in the pool when they want to, and it's not a, have to share kind of thing. That just seems, wow. We're so mean to these pigs. Well, I opened the kiln this morning, and I thought it would be fun to actually do a kiln opening so that you can see what it looks like in there. This is my little, well, it's one of my littler kilns. I have a tinier kiln, but this is kind of my mid-range. This is a kiln that I bought over the winter that I was very excited about because my really big kiln is a 220, and the only 220 outlet in my house that is strong enough to power it is my oven. So if I run the kiln, I have to unplug the oven and then run this big long cord up from the studio to plug into there to run the kiln. So, now if you're running the kiln, it's definitely going to be a go out to dinner night. So that's not the worst. But or microwave something. But at any rate, I found this little 120 kiln. So I can run it whenever I want to. And it's a lot smaller, but it's enough to put a few projects in at a time. And it does a super good job. So I'm going to show you my kiln opening. And then I brought some of these pieces to show you as well.
Okay. Moment of truth. This is always the very exciting part where you get to open up a kiln and find out if your hard work worked out or if you're going to have a big cry. So let's check it out. All right. So, hard yay on this one. This is going to be a plate. So, this is the first part of the fuse. So, this was a tack fuse to fuse down the all the flower petals and things. So, we'll pick it up. So, yes, that turned out exactly the way it was supposed to. So super exciting news on this one. This is 12 inches, and it'll be then put into another mold where I'll heat it again and slump it into a plate. But it's so pretty. All of those centers of the flowers I custom made with cane. They're so cool. And then all the leaves I did that way as well. You can kind of see that. So hooray! All right, so that's step one. Okay. So I pulled that shelf out so we could look at the bottom shelf. So these are little voodoo dolls. Yeah, so cute. That is exactly what I wanted. Now this guy, I'm not sure what happened. His eyes shifted a little bit. Look at that iridescent glass. Isn't that gorgeous? Seriously, so pretty. His eyes shifted. I don't know why, but I actually still think he's really cute and funny, so I'm gonna call him a win. I mean, voodoo dolls are supposed to be kind of skeewampus, right? Cute. All right, and then this I have been super excited to see out of the kiln. It is a butterfly bookend set. So this is just one half of it. Let's see the back of it. That's what the other side looks like. So yeah, that is very pretty. That's exactly what I wanted. So now I'll turn these over to my husband and he will build the wooden part for the bookends so that they'll be all set. So really pretty. You can see some of the detail here. And that glass is just stunning. So yay! I'd say that is a successful kiln opening if I ever saw one.
Yeah. So fun. Yeah, the voodoo doll is killing me. He's hilarious. So here they are held up so you can kind of see. This one is transparent, the green one. So obviously there's quite a bit of glass on this, and then there's some paint too. So there's special glass paint that again also has to be heated up to like 1300 degrees so that it doesn't come off or flake off, or you can't be scraped off. So there's some paint on these, obviously. Had to paint the little button eyes. You can't believe how many times I wiped those eyes off and tried again. That shouldn't have been as hard as it was. But yeah, this is the little creep. He's so funny. And I actually made the voodoos to go on Scott's new Etsy with all of his crazy doll head designs and stuff. So that's where they're gonna go. But I just think they're hilarious. I'll probably make several more of these. Usually I try and make one or two of something to see if I like it before we go further, because it's so much work. And also glass is expensive. We're not out here messing around. But anyway, I'm in love. But you can see how the light catches him. Isn't that pretty glass? Amazing. All right. But the butterfly bookends, you guys. I'm so excited about these. See how they're going to come together? They don't actually come together. They'll be on other sides of your books, but aren't they cool? I'm so excited about these. So I have one more set of bookends that have to go into the kiln today because they had a different firing schedule. So these are a kind of firing that you can see how, like, it's all tactile, you know? The glass is just barely heated enough that the surface of the glass melts so that all of these pieces will fuse to each other, but you still have all of the you still have a lot of the ridges and the bumps, and it's all contoured. But if you do what they call a full fuse, that's when all of the glass gets molten and glue and melts together. So you can't do those in the same firing, because a firing like this heats to 300 or 1375 degrees, and to do a full fuse or a molten fuse, you're going to heat up to a little more than 7 or 1500 degrees. So if you were to do a full fuse on these, you would ruin them. You would not get at all what you thought you were getting. So anyway, I have this really cool moon and star ensemble that's going to be my other set of bookends that are going to go in the kiln today. So I'll have those to show you next week, or they'll be on Etsy before then, hopefully. We'll see. Poor Scott. I'm always leaning on his talents for stuff. So, he can't get anything else done, but what can I do? Yes, they will be so pretty on a desk in front of a window where they'll catch a little light. Yeah, so pretty. I will video, yeah, Scott's fair. So I think we're going to do one fair in September and one fair in October. And he's got a whole bunch of stuff going. He's got a ton of things that he's that are like ready to be painted right now and put in the kiln for a first firing. So he's going to have a lot to show for himself by the time it's done, or by the time those fairs come. And actually, his Etsy is up and running now. So I'll give you a link to that too for fun. But and all of this stuff, of course, will go up on Etsy here in the next few days when it's all done. I gotta drill holes in these. I also have some pendants coming on Etsy that you guys are gonna lose your minds about. Or I don't know if you will. I will. My mind is lost already. Okay. Yes, that iridescent glass would be gorgeous on butterflies, wouldn't it? Agree. But it's not. This is where you always run into the challenge. Do you want something solid, or do you want something translucent? Or do I do translucent like I did this glass, except for the centerpieces, and do them in this? That'd be gorgeous. That would be stunning. Ooh, Sid, you're making me think. Maybe I will do it that way. That would be really pretty. I love it. That's what's cool about glass. And the fun thing right now for me is that Scott has, he built me racks, storage racks for my glass for my birthday. So now it's like all lined out and it's organized by color so I can really see what I have. So that when I sit down to do a project, I can really sort through my glass and pick the very best thing for it, or at least in my eye, you know. I don't always totally trust my choice. And glass can be funny too because sometimes when it fires, it is a different color fired than it is when you're looking at it on the shelf. So sometimes you get a surprise, sometimes a good one, sometimes a terrible one, with glass that didn't do what you thought it was going to do. So that's always a consideration. Or there's glass called striker glass that, depending on what other glass is used alongside of it, will turn different, like on the edges and stuff, because of just the way they react with each other, the minerals in each of them, and the way they react with each other. So, anyway, there's a lot to know about that that I probably don't know. I mean, I know some, but I probably don't know it all. I definitely don't know it all, but. Anyway, that's kind of fun to play with too. So, anyhow, just excited to have something to share from the kiln. I feel like I haven't had much to share lately, so kind of fun. But I was thinking about the show today that this would be a good time to talk about harvesting your herbs and flowers and things for magical work down the road or just to have for fun. There's a lot of things you could do. With your stuff come winter time. So I thought this would be a good topic for today. Blow that up just a little bit. That's better. I didn't know I could do that. Let's see. Can I do that? Nah, I'll do that. Okay, well that gives you a little bit bigger picture. I like that. Okay. So I put a link to Luminous in both of the chat rooms, but this of course is the magazine that I publish every week with help from my one two friends and whatnot and me. And I already emailed it out. I went out about 10 o'clock this morning, so you may have already received it, but I wanted to go through some things in there. Now, I spent the whole weekend in the glass room pretty much. I didn't do much of anything else. I think we took a drive on Saturday, went to cards on Sunday. But other than that, I was just doing glass stuff. Because with glass, you have to either hand cut it or cut it on the saw. And most things don't get cut on the saw because, well, the guts to the saw, if you have to replace them, is $180. And I have broken my saw twice. So now I'm land. Only use the saw if it's something you cannot possibly cut by hand, like the butterfly, with all of the like inside work and the around the head and the tail and stuff. There's no way I could have cut that by hand, so it had to be cut on the saw. But that's kind of my limit at this point. Only cut things on the saw that you absolutely cannot cut by hand. So, which is fine as well. And the saw takes longer, and it also spits glass all over your face. And don't worry, I do wear protection and stuff, but. Anyway, but yeah, I spent the whole weekend pretty much in the glass room listening to a book. I am still on Juliette Marguerite. If you guys have never read Juliette Marguerite, go check her out. She's all over. She's on Amazon. I'm sure she's in lots of other places too. But she considers herself a bard, and her books are so beautiful and so well written and just, I can't say enough. I'm on her fourth, my fourth series of hers currently. Right now I'm reading The Black Mirror. But I started with the Seven Waters series and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. I recommend all of her work, honestly. So I just go play in the glass room and listen to my book and just have peace. So I called the magazine this week The Summer's Bounty Harvesting Magic from the Earth Edition. Because the time is nigh. We've already started harvesting lavender and hanging it up to dry, pulling a bunch of oregano out and other things. And I have the funnest project that I want to do maybe today, if not tomorrow. I'm going to make a little set of plates, clay plates. You roll out your clay in the shape that you want it, and then you take fresh flowers and herbs and you lay them out where you want them, and then you roll them with a little rolling pin thing to, imprint them down in the clay. And then, of course, you peel them off, and then you have those imprints in your clay. And then you shape your plates or your bowls, your cups, or whatever you're doing with it. And once it's dry and you do the first firing, then you come back with special paint called underglaze paint. And you paint those kind of like in a watercolor type technique. And then you do your final glazing. So they're all glazed and, usable plates, but you have the literal herbs from your own garden on your plates. And I'm so excited. And I've been wanting to do this for a hot minute, and I think I'm finally, once I start my kiln again today, that's going to take just a few minutes. I might actually have a few minutes to carve out to play with that. So if I do it and they turn out, I'm sure I'll show you guys. But I'm excited. So that's where we're at. We're talking about summer's bounty. Because things are. They are ripe. They are ready. In fact, some things are probably already falling off for you guys. So, I gave you a guide to some of the most powerful herbs and flowers to gather now, and then we're going to talk about how to preserve them for future use. A quick note on this stuff. If you are going to consume it needs to be pesticide-free. If you're going to burn it, it should be pesticide free. I know it's not always possible, and I don't want to completely deter you from doing your work with that conversation, except for that if it's going to go in your body or you're going to burn it, it needs to be pesticide free, if at all possible. So, I mean, the easiest way to do that, of course, is to grow it yourself. However, lots and lots and lots of farmers markets and local growers are growing in ways that are sustainable and are pesticide free. And so you just want to ask, just be sure that you're not, putting undue poisons into yourself if you at all possibly can. So let's talk about lavender. You want to know something really weird about lavender where I live? It does not come back. We're just a little bit too cold. Lavender in Idaho Falls, 30 minutes from me, where my sisters live, comes back. We are just this much too cold for lavender to overwinter. And have I tried? I keep my lavender beds right next to my house, so they stay, in theory, a little bit warmer. We've tried covering them, we've tried trimming them all the way down, which you should do. We've done all kinds of things to try to protect that lavender and help it come back. It just doesn't, which sucks, but it is what it is. So, at any rate, if you are growing lavender, or you can harvest it from someone else, or purchase it from somebody else's garden, we have even tried to overwinter lavender and rosemary in our greenhouse, and they don't overwinter. Crazy. But I do need a greenhouse, a pool, and a ranch. You are correct. I just do. With a really big glass room with plenty of 220 so I can plug all my kilns in. Okay. Magical properties of lavender are calming, protection, love, and purification. Harvest around midsummer when the flowers are in full bloom. Lavender is always a toughie for me because I kind of hate harvest it, right? You really want to harvest. Don't wait until it's turned brown. You want to harvest it while it's still really nice. If you don't, then it kind of turns brown and it loses some of its potency. Like it's not ruined, but it's not as nice for, especially if you're wanting to use it in like bath salts or things like that, where you want to see those pretty purple blooms. You're going to lose them real fast. So you really want to harvest it when it's, full bloom, full potency. But I kind of hate cutting the flowers off at that point, but you'll have to get over yourself and do it. Preservation. You can bundle the stems together and hang them upside down in a cool, dry place. That's how I always do my lavender. Once it's dried, you can take the flowers from the stems and store them in a glass jar. You can also just leave bundles of dried lavender hanging in your house. I have some that hangs in my kitchen, some that hangs in the living room. I have some that hangs in my closet. Lavender's just a nice one to hang around. It smells good. It, again, protection, love, purification. Why wouldn't you want that hanging around? So, you can use it in sleep sachets, you can use it in protection charms, you can purify your space with it. I'd like to take lavender and team that up with some common sage to make a little smudge stick. That works out really nice. So, its soothing properties make it perfect for rituals involving self-care and stress relief. Okay, rosemary, the other bane of our existence, because it will not grow here. Will not. I mean, we have a big, beautiful, we're trying another thing. So we have a big, beautiful lavender, or sorry, rosemary that we put in a big pot, and it's growing on the steps right now, and we're hoping we can bring it in and just overwinter it in the house, that it'll actually live. So we'll find out. I hope so. We have been messing around with rosemary for years. But rosemary in plant magic is powerful. Its magical properties are healing, remembrance, protection, and clarity. You're going to harvest it late summer, just before the flowers bloom. Not all rosemary blooms, but some of it does. Preservation method. Cut the stems of rosemary and hang them upside down to dry. That's pretty simple. Once they're dry, strip the leaves from the stems and store in an airtight container. So you can also wrap a sprig of rosemary around with some sage if you want to use it for clearing. Rosemary is also an enhancer, and so it does a good job of just helping to enhance anything else that you're doing. It's a amplifier. So you can use it for clearing negative energy, for improving memory. That's a huge one with rosemary. Or for protection. It's good in healing rituals and as offerings as well. Okay, sage. And I'm not talking about white sage because unless you live in California, you probably can't grow the white sage. And even if you live in California, you might not be able to grow white sage. It is super, super picky. I have one client who actually has white sage that grows on her property, and every few years she'll cut a bunch and mail it to me, which is incredibly kind of her. And I've used her sage for a long time because that's where it comes from. But I also go out on the desert and harvest just sage here, common sage, or a sage brush here. But in your garden, you're going to grow some kind of common sage, or pineapple sage, or there's a whole bunch of them that smell a little bit different. Pineapple sage is my favorite, actually. It smells really, really good. But what can you use sage for? Purification, obviously. We know that it is a purifying herb. We know it's good for protection, wisdom, and ancestral connection. You want to harvest early summer when the leaves are fresh and robust. And now is not too late on sage. And again, you may not be harvesting from your own garden. I might just be putting you on a task right now to go check out your local farmers market and find the herb sellers and buy from them. With sage, you want to gather the leaves and bundle them into small bundles, tie them with twine, and hang them to dry in a well-ventilated area. If you're going to burn common sage, like to smudge, it's got to be all the way dry. If not, the smoke is so pungent and aggressive, you'll wish you hadn't. So make sure it's really dry. Again, you can add other herbs to it. Just know though that common sage doesn't burn the same way that white sage does. With white sage, you can take that big bundle and get it alight and then blow it out and just let it keep smoking. Not so much with common sage, it burns a lot faster. So be prepared. And it burns hotter. So make sure that whatever you're using whatever vessel you're using is heat proof and that you are careful and don't burn yourself or your house down. I just don't think you should do that either. Oh dear. Oh, well, wow. I don't know what started that, but the dogs just started fighting at my feet. Bruno and Luca. You're okay. Now he's upset. Oh my goodness. What in the world? I have no idea what that was about. They were both just laying in their bed next to me, like they normally do during my show, and just broke out into a terrible fight. Are you okay? You look okay. He's shaking. Oh, poor Bruno. Oh, well, sorry about that. I can think of the times that these two have fought like that on one hand. How bizarre. Okay. Well, back to the show. So, right, drama. So, sage is used for smudging, clearing, and purification. You can also make sage bundles or add dried sage to sachets for magical workings, especially working on cleansing and protection. And don't forget that any of the herbs that we're talking about, you may hang on to use in a spell jar here and there as well. That's a really potent purpose for any of these. Okay, then calendula, also known as marigold. So, calendula's magical properties are healing, protection, prosperity, and love. And if you can get pesticide-free calendula, you can melt up a little beeswax and cocoa butter and then simmer your calendula in it for a little while and then strain it out. That's an amazing skin salve. Amazing. For irritated skin, for rashes, for stuff like that. Really good stuff. I've made calendula salve a lot of times and it's awesome. But on the magical side, we have healing, protection, prosperity, and love. Calendula can be harvested late in the summer when the flowers are fully open, or whenever they are fully open and you feel like you're ready. You don't, as soon as they're open and you know your plants are good and solid, you can go ahead and take calendula. So you're going to pluck the petals and lay them out flat to dry on a clean surface. When they're dry, you can store them in a dark, dry jar. So again, you can use it in healing potions, love spells, and for protection. It's a good herb for enhancing prosperity and attracting positive energy into your life. So, lots of reasons to use calendula. It's a very sunny, happy herb. And so, using it to help to attract happiness or enhance happiness and positive energy is a really, really good use for it. And then chamomile. And I don't have chamomile this year. I used to have, I planted chamomile for a few years and then it just started volunteering everywhere and I didn't even plant it anymore. And now I need to plant it again because I had none come up this year. So, chamomile, if you guys have grown chamomile, you know it is a pain in the ass to deal with. Cutting off all of those tiny little tops, it's a bit of a hassle, but it's worth it. Chamomile has great properties for peace, love, luck, sleep, and divination. So you're going to harvest mid to late summer when the flowers are fully bloomed. And again, when your flowers are open, you can harvest. If you want to wait a little while and let the bees have them for a bit, do that too, or maybe just take part of them. But you can, as soon as your flowers are open and they're aromatic, they're good to go. So pick them and lay them on a drying rack or parchment paper. Let them air dry in a shaded dry area. They take a surprising amount of time to dry because their little centers are really thick and really, oh, what's the right word? They're dense. And so chamomile, you'll think it's dry because the petals dry really fast, but those centers, they take forever to dry. Just know that. So you can use chamomile in sleep and relaxation rituals. They're great for good fortune, for love spells, enhancing divinatory abilities, and of course, they're amazing for tea. I really like a blend of mint, chamomile, and lavender because those are all things that I grow. And so I can combine the three of those into a little tea for relaxation or for bedtime, or if you're just feeling all nerved up for some reason. Yeah. Sid, it's a good point. Maybe they are. I was just thinking because Nellie and Luca got in a fight this morning, and I was like, what the hell? You dogs don't ever fight. And now this one. Sid said maybe they're picking up on the elevated solar and geomagnetic waves headed towards Earth. Yeah, we're back to getting hit with a huge solar storm again. This is happening a lot these days. It's crazy. And I can't measure that against what's happened in the past because I don't know, except for that we've never been able to see the Northern Lights where I live until the last couple of years. And now, in the summertime, we get alerts, at least once a month that we may be able to see the Northern Lights again, which is really uncommon. Does my chamomile make those pesky Spanish needle sticky hook seeds if you don't cut the flowers off? No. Mine don't. Weird. I must have a different variety, Sid, because mine have not done that. Okay, St. John's wort. Magical properties are protection, healing, strength, and banishment. If you're trying to banish somebody or something, you might want some St. John's wort. Not everybody grows this one. It's not as common. I don't grow it, but I'm hoping I can find somebody else with it. Yeah. Maybe switch with Luca. I locked him out of here for now, but I will after the show. I'll go give him some time. I'm not sure what's up with him. I also picked a tick off of his ear yesterday, so maybe that has something to do with it. It hadn't burrowed in. It was just there, but I've never seen a tick in my yard before either, ever. What's going on? Okay. By the way, did I tell you guys about the Mormon crickets? I'll talk to you about it. Don't let me forget. I'll tell you about it after this. But oh, we've got a Mormon cricket outbreak here that is crazy talk. I'll tell you. Okay, back to St. John's wort. Harvest time is midsummer during the height of its bloom. You want to harvest the flowers and dry them in bundles or individually on a drying rack. Again, you can use it in protection spells, especially for banishing negative energy, and it's good for boosting personal strength and healing emotional wounds. Good to note. And then there's yarrow. Now, I don't grow yarrow, but yarrow grows wild where I live. You have to be really careful with yarrow, though, because there are a few things that can mimic yarrow that are poisonous as hell. And so, yarrow and OSHA and, oh, hell, I'm not going to be able to say it. I can't remember what it's called. Well, that's not useful, but there is a plant that is very poisonous that's similar to yarrow. So use an identification app. Really look at the leaves. The leaves will really tell you if it's yarrow or if it's something else. So be careful with that. But you guys really need to see my Luca. Okay, hold on a minute. I'll grab him. I'll see if he wants to come in. Okay. Luca came to the show. He's grumbling. Oh, but I think he's okay. Can you just at least say hi? Okay. We'll let him hang out for a while. How do I know the cricket's religion? Oh, Suzanne, I will tell you. Okay. So with Yarrow, again, be careful that you know what you have. You cut the flowers and hang them upside down. They're in these big white bunches, and dry them in a cool, dry place. So Yarrow is really good for protection spells, courage, and love. It's also a good one for psychic abilities or healing work related to the heart chakra. So it's worth it to have Yarrow, and if you grow Yarrow, then awesome, then you'll know exactly what you've got. Oh, it's hemlock. It's water hemlock is the one that it sometimes that it can mimic. So you got to be careful about that. Okay, did you want to get down? Are you okay? Okay, magical properties of mint. Now, mint, if you grow it, it's probably taken over your life. But because mint spreads like crazy. So maybe you do grow it, maybe you don't. I grow mint. I grew mint for years because of Matea. Matea always had an upset tummy when she was a kid. And just a lot of psychic stuff, as well as just genetic stomach stuff. And we would grow her mint every year and we'd harvest it. And she would make mint tea whenever her tummy hurt. And we did that forever. Now she buys mint tea and complains to me that I don't ever bring her any mint, which is something I should probably do. But at any rate, so mint I've had forever growing here, but magical properties are prosperity, protection, healing, and clarity. There's a practice of keeping a mint leaf in your wallet next to your money to help to protect your money and also bless you with more. Harvest in midsummer when the leaves are fully developed. Preservation method: cut strips of mint and lay them on a flat drying surface or hang them in small bunches. When they're dried, you can just store them in a sealed container. Really straightforward on mint, obviously. I like to crush it up a little bit with my fingers so it's ready because I really like to just throw a little bit of mint and a couple other things together in a strainer for an easy tea as well. Mint's so good for your stomach if you have tummy issues. Mint's commonly known for prosperity spells, especially for drawing in financial abundance. It's good for healing, cleansing, and boosting mental clarity. And then echinacea, or coneflower. Echinacea is used in other countries in healing a lot more than it is in the US. In Germany, particularly, and echinacea is used for a cold and flu, always. But it's for health, vitality, and protection. So you're going to harvest it in late summer when the flowers are bright and full. Right, coneflowers are so pretty. Love them. I don't have any this year. I'm seeing where my magical garden has kind of gone to the dogs. Next year I need to more specifically plant some things. Some of these are perennials that used to come back that just aren't coming anymore that just need to be replanted. Because I used to have echinacea always. So it's an excellent herb for health and vitality rituals. Oh, we didn't talk about. So you just take the flowers and leaves and dry them in a shaded, airy space and store in airtight jars or bags. But like with chamomile, those cones take a long time to dry. So give them a really good long drying and make sure, really crumble one up with your fingers to make sure that it's really dry before you store them or they will mold on you. And that would super suck. Okay. So it's good for health and vitality rituals, for physical and spiritual protection, and it's used to draw in positive healing energy. Imagine combining some of that with some of your calendula to help bring in more positive, healing energy, energy of happiness. Great idea. Lemon balm. I love lemon balm. Lemon balm smells amazing. So, lemon balm is for calming, love, happiness, and mental clarity. You want to harvest it in the summer, just right before it flowers. Just take some of it. Preservation, cut the leaves and lay them flat on a drying rack. And when they're dried, put them in a jar or a sachet. Simple, should be simple ones to dry. Make sure you label it well. I think lemon balm and sage sometimes look similar once they're dried. Beforehand, not so much, but after they do. You should be able to tell by smell, though, what you have. But I'm a big fan of labeling not just what you have, but when you harvested it so that you know how old it is. Lemon balm is great for love spells, for attracting happiness, and calming anxiety. It's good for mental clarity and for relaxing rituals. So, those are some thoughts. Do you want to get down? How many times could this headset be pulled off during this show? We're gonna find out, obviously. But so those are some. I mean, obviously you might have some other favorites or go-tos. I didn't include rose petals in this one, but and I've already started that because I like to harvest mine from the mountains where we like to go and hang out, and they're in bloom in the end of June. So I've already gathered a handful. I had a bunch from last year, so I probably won't take much more because I don't want to take more than I will use. That seems wrong. But as you harvest, make sure that you are asking for permission as well as giving gratitude to the plant and speaking to your plants as you harvest them. That's important. And make sure that if you're harvesting and you want them to keep going, that you don't take too much at a time. All right, so on some preservation tips. So always dry them in cool, dark, and dry spaces. You can take old window screens and lay your herbs out on them and dry them that way, and it works really good. Just don't do that in the direct sun. And if you can get a hold of two window screens so that you can sandwich your herbs in between them, that works out really well. You can also dry them in a food dehydrator if you choose to, on a really, really low setting, or in the oven on a really, really low heat setting. But if you can just air dry them, to me, that's just the most natural way to dry them, and I like to do it that way. Scott likes to dry his stuff in the food dehydrator, and it just makes the leaves so fragile. So, up to you entirely, but I like just doing it air dried. Again, once they are dried, you can just store them in glass jars, in cloth bags, or airtight containers. Again, make sure that you label them so that you can keep track of what you've got and when you harvested it so you know how old it is. And then ways to use it. You can make infusions. So you can make an infusion or oil by taking your dried petals and putting them in a carrier oil for a few weeks. So in liquefied coconut oil or in sweet almond oil or even olive oil, though that has a stronger scent, so you're going to get more of that to come through in what you've got, depending on if it's extra virgin or it's not or whatever. But I really like sweet almond for this because it's pretty well scentless. So whatever you're actually infusing, you're going to get most of that. But you really just put your stuff in your oil for a few weeks. I like to keep those in a spot that you're going to see them occasionally and remember to give them a good shake. And then you're just going to strain them out. And then you've got that for anointing oils or for crafting spell oils or for like anointing your candles if you want to make something like that. For tinctures, herbs like rosemary, sage, St. John's wort are all good ones for a tincture, and that's an easy way to preserve them. So you steep your dried herbs in alcohol for 2 to 4 weeks. So usually vodka is what people use, but if you have something else that you prefer, you can use that too. But you just literally put the herb in the alcohol, put it in an airtight jar, put it in the cupboard in a spot where you're going to see it, shake it every couple of days, and in 2 to 4 weeks, just strain it and put them in stopper bottles, and you have your tincture. Super, super easy. You can use those for ritual and spell work. You can also use those to make your own supplements, but that's not exactly what this show is about. I want you to do lots of learning about that before you make your own medicine, but that's up to you, not to me. And again, you could take these two and put together a tea blend if you wanted to, so that you're just ready. I like lavender. Like I said, I love rose in tea, and I like to make that nighttime blend out of chamomile and lavender and rose if I have it. But it's kind of nice to put your own tea together. And on that note, if you want to really look forward to a few months down the road, you could put together some tea blends now and hold on to them and put them in fancy little jars and give them as Christmas gifts down the road if you wanted. What a lovely gift, right? That came from your own garden, or at least from your own hands, herbs that you maybe purchased at a local seller or farmer's market booth or whatnot. I love that. So, at any rate, this is the time, and I think that I wanted to bring it up and pull it to your attention because I tend to let things go too long when they needed to be harvested. So we're not doing that this year. All right. Kelly's blog this week is about the secret woman behind the secrets of Project Mincemeat. Project Mincemeat was a project that happened in a plot that tricked Hitler, and it is a fantastic story. So be sure to read her article. You can click right here to listen to her podcast about it. She and Lisa, so good. So please be sure you go check that out. It is fantastic. All right. Since we were talking about all of the gatherings, I thought it might be fun to also bring up some edible flowers that you could be gathering now to put in salads or to dry and hold on to. Some of these you could actually put in your teas later if you wanted to, but pansies. Pansies are edible. Again, pesticide free, right? Have to be. Pansies, my gosh, I love pansies so much. I have a huge thing of them out front that I pick from, but pansies are so beautiful in salads, frozen in ice cubes for drinks, on like a little cupcake, things like that, or a cookie. They are so pretty. And they're just sweet. They just have a sweet kind of earthy scent or flavor. They're nice. Rose petals, as you know, are edible. You can make tea, cocktails, baked goods, salads. You can make jelly. I've made rose petals jelly before. It's amazing. And it's super good on toast. Rose petals are fun to play with that way. Lavender buds, of course, edible. Lavender lemonade or a lavender cocktail, delicious. I have lavender, and I bought it. I should make my own, but I have some lavender syrup that I put in my coffee quite a bit, and I love it. And bachelor's buttons. Did you know bachelor's buttons are edible? These cute little dudes. They have kind of a peppery green bean kind of flavor. They're really interesting in salads. Now, there's others. This is just a few, but worth mentioning. Christie's energy exercise is energy breathing. Always crime over at True Crime Squad, of course. Last Thursday was a very funny episode. We had three different AI songs that we wrote about crimes we read about that were hilarious. And Christy covered Torrons because where I live this close to Yellowstone, oh my gosh, do we get the shenanigans from Yellowstone all the time? So, and what the tourists are called around here, unfortunately, not all of you, but the ones that, do things like try to pet the fluffy cows. you're called Torrons. I'm sorry. But Christy did some Torrons coverage that will blow your mind about how foolish people are walking right up to Buffalo and stuff like that. But lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation, so lots of stuff to check out there. And that's it for Luminous this week. So I hope that you found a gem there, something that gives you something to think about or work on. Now, before I'm done, I wanted to tell you about the Mormon crickets, but I gotta find my picture. So, Mormon crickets, And this is why they're called this. They're crickets, but they're enormous. And why in the world are they called? How do we know their religion? Like Suzanne said, well, we don't. But what we know is this is a Mormon cricket next to other crickets. Do you see this? Yeah, that's how big those suckers are. They're huge. And they have that very long tail thing that I don't know what it's. I hope it's not a stinger. I don't know. God damn it. But that's how big they are. So every so often we get all of these Mormon crickets here that literally coat the roads in certain places, like out on the desert. So we came across a bunch of them when we were camping this last weekend, but I've been seeing some articles that people are really coming across a lot of them. They're enormous. And so why are they called Mormon crickets? Well, the legend is that in Utah, way back in the time of the pioneers, that at one point they had their crops planted, and that this huge swarm of crickets, to now be known as Mormon crickets, was gobbling up all their crops. And they prayed, and a whole swarm of seagulls, or a whole flock of seagulls, swarmed in, and they ate up all of the Mormon crickets. In the story, they were eating up so many crickets that they were stopping and throwing up and eating some more to save the crops. So that's why they're called Mormon crickets. But yeah, we have a shit ton of them this time of year. Not every year, but this year we've got a ton of them, and they are, ooh, are they gross? But you should see what the roads look like. Just covered in them, and people are just driving across them. You can't not. But only out on like the desert roads, not on our main roads. But anyway, so there you go. That's how you know what religion they are, Suzanne. Crazy stuff. Amy said that's a standard size cricket in Oklahoma. Yikes. Do they sing baritone? They make a noise. They have a very loud, what, crickety noise? Suzanne said when people come to New England for the changing of the leaves. Oh, they are the leafers. That's funny. I love it. When I was a kid, a lot of older couples would come from Arizona and stay on the college campus because at the time it was a JUCO and there were no kids here and students in the summer, so they'd rent the rooms out, the dorms out to these older couples from Arizona that would come here for the summer where it wasn't so hot. And they were just out golfing and fishing and just, doing all the Idaho things, and they were called sunbirds. And then in the winter, a bunch of older people from here would go to Arizona to get away from the snow and stay warm, and they'd be golfing and fishing and doing the Arizona things all winter long, and they were called snowbirds. So there you go. I want to remind you that I'm a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. You can find me over there like every single day. That's number one, number two, listen.com. I can help you with whatever you're working on. If you need some animal communication work, if you need a psychic reading, if you need some mediumship, come see me. I'll do whatever I can to help you. I do a ton of energy work at 12listen as well. If you've been through some stuff and you need some good balancing and clearing, come and see me. I'll help you out with that. So that's how to find me. I'll be back next week, same place, same time. Thanks so much for being here, you guys, and thanks for always being a part of my world. I appreciate you very much. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.